instincts are tuned up. That's one of the benefits of fasting. So you tune up your instincts through exercise and occasional fasting. Anything can be overdone. Some people get addicted to fasting. I should mention that. Some people, every 2 weeks, are doing a 5-day fast. That's too much. Because you feel real spacey. See, your hunger goes away after about a day and a half. You're not hungry anymore. And then it's fun to prepare food for other people. The smells, you can smell food across the house. It's amazing how your nostrils start to work better. Your olfactory sense. You feel light. You feel like you could walk forever. So some people say, I don't feel like I need to eat anymore. Bad idea. Point is, you can overdo or underdo anything. That's the law of balance. But you trust your instincts. Ultimately, read the labels, but also check out, how do I feel after eating this food? That's why I don't give rules about only fruit in the morning, only protein in lunch, and so on. Because those rules are, there's no minimum daily requirement for anybody. That's an artificial abstract. You may need more or less than someone sitting next to you of different nutrients. That's why ultimately the only way to know is to trust your instincts. Instinctual eating. Find out what works for you. It's more important than what you read. In fact, Mark Twain once wrote, "Be careful of reading health books. You may die of a misprint." Okay? I already mentioned fasting is the fifth principle for energizing your body. And the sixth one is eat more foods containing water, a lot of water. We're a high percentage of water. Our bodies are made up of that. So you want to eat foods that have a lot of water content, which comes down to primarily fruits and vegetables. But drink water a lot. I drink equivalent of about 2 glasses of water before I get out of bed in the morning. Generally, filtered water, purified water, bottled water. Most of us don't drink enough. Drink more water and eat foods that bear a lot of water, fruits and vegetables. You'll feel better. And finally, treat eating as a sacred ritual. This is the most difficult area for me. I tend to eat quickly, and it's a very difficult habit to break. I believe we all have a natural pace of eating, which may be different for someone else. Again, about trusting your instincts. But in general, if we pay attention to what we're eating, once in a while, put the book down, turn the TV off once in a while, and notice what you're eating. Pay attention to, just as a discipline, now and then. Take a breath between every time you chew, swallow, take one deep breath. Even put your fork or spoon down and then pick it up again. It's so easy to take food for granted. That way we treat food as a sacrament, not just saying grace. I don't do any particular religious ritual before I eat, but I often just put my hands together and dedicate the energy from the food in service of others. It doesn't take long. You can do it inauspiciously. Nobody even notices. Just one deep breath and then you eat. That's also an important dietary principle. You can eat the best food in the world, but if you gorge it down, don't digest it as well. And my belief is you don't get quite as much out of it. Other than that, I don't have a lot to say about diet because there's plenty written on the subject, innumerable books, but it comes down to those seven principles. You apply those, and it's going to help take care of your diet. The Holy Trinity of health, exercise, diet, and finally getting enough rest. You've probably read in the newspapers how we're a sleep-deprived nation. This may be true in many places in the world. Think of what it was like before the electric light bulb, before oil lamps. People flowed their lives flowed with the natural rhythms of the sun, the moon. When the sun went down, it was time. You couldn't see much. Torches, maybe. So you went to sleep. And when the sun was up, it was time to get up. That's a natural alarm clock. But we stay up late watching the TV program just to finish it. Even if we have a VCR. Aren't people funny? We stay up late. And we don't get enough sleep. That's why we often are sleepy in the afternoon. Normally you shouldn't get sleepy in the afternoon unless you've eaten something you're allergic to. You often get sluggish after lunch. Or you didn't sleep enough the night before. Then if we take a nap late in the day, then it's harder to get to sleep at night, and these cycles continue. So getting enough rest is very, very important. Those three things will take care of so much. Often we think we have these spiritual problems and we have emotional problems, and often these will be taken care of with a good diet. In fact, let me read you a couple of quotes you might enjoy. Lord Chesterfield wrote, "A light supper and a good night's sleep have often made a hero out of the same person who, by indigestion and a restless night, would have proved a coward." So diet affects a great deal about what you think is emotional issues and relationship issues. Your diet. Thaddeus Golas, in his little gem of a book, The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment, once said, "The way you perceive the world depends entirely on your energy. When your energy changes, the world will look different." Let's do a breathing exercise. When people ask me, "Dan, how do you breathe?" You know, they've read Way of the Peaceful Warrior and they go, "Now I remember Socrates, your teacher in that book, told you to keep your tongue on the roof of the mouth. That seems to be such a key for them." And I go, "Well, sure, that way you breathe through your nose and it keeps the bugs out, you know?" It's a subtle thing, energy circulation, the tongue and the roof of the mouth, but it's a natural place to let the tongue rest. When people ask me how to breathe, I say, I often recommend in, then out, in, then out. But there are more things to know about breathing. Yes, we breathe automatically if the body has all these mechanisms where we'll, if we haven't breathed deeply enough, but there's a way to learn to breathe that can calm you, help center you, relax you, release stress. And let's do that now. Would you put one hand on your chest, if you're able to do this where you are right now, and one hand on your lower belly? First, we're going to breathe deliberately the wrong way, which is what most people do. You see, young babies, they'll breathe their little bellies going in and out. You'll see their little bellies moving. And often adults, when they're asleep and relaxed, their bellies will move when they breathe. But most of us, because the mind imposes tension on the body, most of us breathe more in our upper chest. We breathe with our intercostal muscles and our chest. So I'm going to ask you to breathe the wrong way on purpose now. Breathe only in your upper chest and breathe 30 shallow and rapidly. In other words, nothing should move but your upper hand. Your bottom hand shouldn't be moving at all. Upper hand go. Okay, that's not much fun, is it? What do you associate that with? What emotional state do you associate that kind of breathing with? Fear or anxiety, yes. Almost universally, anxiety. And often we're going around through our day slightly anxious when we're driving, when we're at work,